Do you wonder why with some people you see online or maybe offline lack a little bit of what you call an aligned experience, where what you thought of them when you saw them online or heard about them in advance just doesn't match up to who you see in real life? I think you'll like this episode. I'm going to go into why trust and integrity are very big parts to personal brand. Let me know if you enjoy this one.
You're listening to The Brand Compass, conversations to navigate your way to building a brand fit for purpose and poised for success. Here's your host, Shelley Rosland.
Hello there, my friend. Thank you for having me in your ears today. As you know by now, this is the space where we chat about all the ways in which your personal brand meets the humans you serve. Now, the last two episodes were more conversations in my series talking to real life people out there in the world, shaping a version of themselves which they are happy to share with the outside world. You now have four of these to go and listen to, and I'm going to give you a quick little recap in case you haven't or you haven't caught all of them. And just to give you a reminder, you've got Gordon Fong, Digital Data and Defense Specialist based in Dorset, Ryan Enslin, Travel and Lifestyle Journalist based in Johannesburg, Janice Wagner, an Executive Search Specialist based in Joburg as well, and then a more local friend, Jack Fleckney, who is an expedition leader specializing in extreme environments in foreign countries. Now, in this episode, I'm going to do a reflection of what I got for the last two conversations with Janice and Jack. And I did one of these after doing the recordings for Ryan and Gordon's episodes, and I quite liked the fact that I got to kind of stew over and mull over what I got for myself out of those conversations. And actually, by recording that episode, I had quite a few people get in touch and say, oh gosh, I really like listening to your reflections, Shelley, and it made me want to go and listen to the other. So I'm really hoping that by doing this one today, you will be encouraged to go back and listen to either Janice or Jack, but also to the other two as well. So do let me know if you are enjoying this series. It'd be lovely to get some feedback from you, and I do respond to all messages. I do want to say a big thank you to Jane Whitfield, who's the head of private health at Elite Solicitors, and she's a local networking friend who very sweetly came up to me at one of my networking meetings to just let me know that she really loved listening to Gordon's episode and how lovely he was in how he was sharing how he's basically shaping his personal brand from hiding and being invisible to kind of coming out into the open. And she's looking forward to jumping into the other episodes, which is great. Thank you so much, Jane. Right, let's get on with today's episode.
Confidently navigate your brand's future, fit for purpose and poised for success.
After preparing and talking to both Janice and Jack for their episodes, and then, of course, I listened to the episodes multiple times during our production process, and by the time I'd listened a couple of times to both, there were three things that came up for me as reflection points listening to both Janice and Jack, right? So the first one is the vital issue of trust in personal branding. Second thing, how integrity is multifaceted. And thirdly, thinking through your brand experience and how people feel like when they're working with you is very, very important. Sound good? Okay, let's get into it. It fascinates me talking to people about personal branding and what they think it is. There are a few things that do seem to just come out each time, and that's something along the lines of this recognition of you by others, either through your personality or your reputation. And to be honest, I think that's a really good overarching view to have, but what happens when it goes wrong? What happens when that reputation or perception that's being put out there doesn't match with the person in real life? And this brings me to my first point of trust being a vital issue in crafting your personal brand. Jack brought up this in his episode, and he was actually struggling a little bit to describe how he would define personal brand, as he shared that he'd had some experiences where this personal brand malarkey was a bit of a farce, okay? He gave an example, he didn't name anybody, but he gave an example where he knew of somebody that he was following online, but he just knew offline they just were not that person. Now, I can understand that. I think Jack feeling a little disjointed by this. I mean, I would also, right? And I think what we have to remember is that you can't become something you are not to the outside world. Firstly, from a logical perspective, it is damn exhausting having to wear and flip between different masks all the time. Can you imagine? And secondly, and more to the point, you will erode trust over the long term. And for me, this is the shyster move, right? The people who put a mask on in terms of their online presence, for example, they're more often than not just don't get it. And they're really in it for the short-term wins. Now, Janice reiterated this in her conversation too. She learned really quickly that for her to win business, she had to instill trust really early on. And she did that by actually just being herself all the time. This ensured that people knew what they were getting, and if they resonated, great, then they worked with her, and if they didn't, that's fine, and they just didn't end up working with her. You cannot please everyone. And if you think you can, you'd be wrong. The human race is far too diverse. You're asking for trouble by wanting to be liked by everyone. You will only end up becoming grey and then blending into the ether where nobody can spot you, including your ideal client. Janice has her own style of being her, and she is that whether she's at the gym or in the office or out shopping. Personal brand strategy done right means you shape a proper version of yourself that you're excited to be and project at all times, and especially when you're communicating or marketing yourself with the outside world. You are beautifully unique already. Let's rather focus on that than on becoming more grey. This feeds into my second point about integrity being multifaceted. You know this already as a professional and potentially in the service of others. Integrity for me is about doing what you say you're going to do, when you said you're going to do it by, and it also stretches into standing for something and sticking to it. If you keep flip-flopping what you think or how you act, it makes people uneasy. In personal brand strategy work, we solidify this element of integrity by doing work on your values and your principles, and also pulling together what your guiding tone of voice is. Now, tone of voice, I like to think of it like it's the music that plays when you walk into a room. People instantly recognize it as you, and they know what to expect from you. It's the rhythm that underlies everything that you say and do. And if you suddenly play the music off key or you change the tune completely, it is unsettling for people. In Jack's business, people have to trust him to take them into extreme environments in foreign countries. He and his team literally keep their clients alive and safe while delivering a life-changing adventure. He shared in his conversation that they've planned a touchpoint journey to ensure that the client feels and knows that level of comfort and trust before they even sign up and go on the expeditions. Janice's clients have stayed with her for 14 plus years because she does what she says she will, she delivers on what she's there to do, and looks after the client all the way through. She knows what they need, she listens well, and they know what they can expect from her, and she doesn't let them down. Some would say it's simple, right? Now, I have a huge issue with integrity myself. So my two biggest strengths are strategy and empathy. And my radar for things that just don't add up is quite visceral, which means that I'm almost like a tuning fork, if that makes sense. So if someone doesn't add up for me, I actually feel it in my gut, which squirms and starts to send out red alerts, right? It could be about someone's way of being, the words that they're using, the tone in their voice, or their message even. And sometimes it's even who they're associating with, or even maybe how it actually feels to talk or work with them. Integrity is multifaceted. Keep that in mind. That leads me to my third point for today, and that's about this element of how you make people feel. right? Now, I know I can be an extreme case because I do feel and detect things quite instantly and instinctively. So I do lean on a few people who I trust to just help me calibrate what I end up thinking about what I feel. In both Janice and Jack's conversations, they talked about their clients' pains and joys to highlight why they thought it was important to pay attention to experience. Jack talked about how hard they work on their client's journey to pinpoint where they can make the experience better. And Janice talked about how she trained her staff to also pay attention to small and sometimes personal details about clients so that they felt looked after and heard. As a service provider, reflecting on how you make people feel is really important. It feeds back into the trust and the integrity element that we've talked about. It's also one of the reasons why people choose to work with you over somebody else. I've had two very different in-person brand experiences attending events lately, and they were complete opposites to each other. One, I walked away having had an amazing, uplifting time, and the other just battling to push down the disappointment of how the evening had left me feeling. Now, I know event experiences are not the same as delivering one-on-one service, right? But it prompted me to just kind of add a reflection here in light of my chats with Janice and Jack. If you haven't had time or taken time out to look at what your experience traits are and what you have control over to enhance your client's journey with you, I highly recommend that you do. Experience traits is what my team and I call those descriptive words or phrases you would use to explain how you want people to feel. I guess it's a little bit like personality traits, but those are more about how you want others to perceive you, whereas your experience traits are more about how you want others to feel when they're working with you. When I work with clients on their personal brand strategy, we include this trait identification work because how you want to be perceived and how you want others to feel is integral to what makes you you and why people will gravitate towards you. And this is essentially your brand experience. Why is this important? Well, because we're all human, right? And we as clients or customers, we want to feel good. We want to feel special, appreciated, valued, and quite frankly, looked after. Now that can look and feel quite different for different professions and services, but the important bit is to do the work. Now, here are three things I want you to bear in mind before you actually tackle this experience trait work. Hopefully it's helpful for you. First thing, realize that this is all about subjective emotions, right? Because we're dealing with thinking, meaning-making creatures, i.e. humans. Second point, only pick three or four solid experience traits that you can sustainably and consistently deliver on for anyone who works with you at any point in time. Third point, make sure that those three to four traits are things where you have the most control over to influence. And I can have a whole episode just on that and how that will keep your sanity. Delivering a great, supportive, and rewarding experience to people is work that requires planning, attention to detail, and energy. My message to you is to not go overboard, do what you can with what you have, and just be consistent. When listening to Jack talk about how hard it was for him to scale being the face of the business and that all the clients got used to seeing him, particularly in his first business with his gym business, the one bit I thought I'd highlight here about their conversation is this. There are two different brand strategies at play here in what Jack was talking about, and both of them have very different purposes. Your personal brand strategy is raising you up and making you visible as a person behind the business so that the outside world has this human personality and character to get to know and be drawn towards in order to do business with them. Now, if you have a team and you're not a solopreneur, you may well have your personal brand strategy, but you'll also have a business brand strategy. So now the business brand strategy works in a similar way to the personal brand strategy because it still acts as that magnet to draw the right clients to you. However, the values and principles and personality, if you will, of the business are articulated in a way which the staff can all get behind as a whole, which means that you will recruit people on your team who embody the values and the ethos of the business. Now, if you're smart, and Jack is smart, so he will be doing this, you will also encourage your team members to build their personal brands. But ideally, those do actually align with the business. So you wouldn't have, for example, a really demure, quiet customer service representative who works for a rebel brand who prides itself on breaking rules, being loud, and grabbing attention. Make sense? But Jack has realized this, and as he grows his business, he's going to make sure that it's not just his face that's recognizable. The only thing I'd add here about experience traits is to ensure that you're utilizing the right opportunities to instill and embed these traits. So in our agency, we use what we call the 7 stages of the customer's marketing journey, and we help clients to realize that you don't just give people a great experience in that period where you are just romancing them before they come on board, or alternatively, only give that experience when they actually come on board. The whole journey counts, even when people are just getting to know you from a distance. And that's it for this episode, folks. Thank you so much for sticking with me on that. I struggle a little bit with solo episodes, to be honest. I love having somebody else on me in the conversation to bounce off of. So I really hope I don't bore you with just my voice. So drop me a line, let me know. What did you think about my reflections today? Did you think the same things? Did I get you to think about things you hadn't thought of? You know, have I inspired you to go and have a listen to Jack and Janice's conversations, or maybe even Gordon and Ryan's? So here's a quick reminder, if you will, to support the show. You can do one of 3 things. Click the follow or subscribe button on the app that you are listening to this on. Go and give us a review if you've loved a particular episode and you want to let me know that way. And 3, just tell a friend, nice and simple, tell a friend about the show or even a particular episode that you think that they should listen to. Hopefully, by growing the show, we're making our listenership a lot more diverse. I'm trying to get a lot more diverse guests on the show as well to give you more ideas and inspiration into this conversation of trying to be more you, more of the time. And gosh, if we can crack a smile while we're doing it, then fair enough. So who do you know who could do with listening to this particular episode and knowing about the series that I'm doing? Share this episode. You know you want to. Until next time, my friends, stay strong, believe you have value, and make good brand decisions.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Compass. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with your entrepreneurial friends and help them make good brand decisions. Until next time, let's keep the conversation going at shellyrosland.com.